Right, I'm going to take you on a journey. Praise the Lord. Good to see your happy, smiling faces. And right, we're going to ask ourselves a question, first of all, and we'll try and answer it. Okay, in 2 Peter chapter 3, the question is, what kind of people should you be? That sounds ominous, doesn't it? Especially coming from me. What sort of people, what kind of people should you be? That's a question that's being asked directly to us, to me as well. And, you know, we do live our lives, don't we? And some of us live very interesting lives. If you go to newsagents, on the shelves you come across these glossy magazines. I've never bought them, but apparently they're full about celebrities' lives, you know, all about them. People are very interested in other people's lives, aren't they? And want to know how many marriages they've had. And these celebrities, they tend to have 4 or 5. It's awful, isn't it, really? And every time they have a divorce, they get a nice large sum of money, maybe millions. These celebrities, the way they live, their London homes or New York, maybe, costing $4 to $5 million. No, that's a bit of a cheap house these days, isn't it? About £40 to £50 million. You'd love to see inside their homes in this glossy magazine. Or you find out where they work. They might work as a city banker or in glamour or fashion. And I think some of those things are very trivial and very unsatisfying in life. So you can go and get your glossy magazine and pry and find out about other people's lives. But I've chosen my glossy magazine, which is the Bible. And I find that in my Bible and your Bible, that it's full of interesting people, sort of people that show us how to and how not to. Okay, and I've chosen for this afternoon, the glossy book of Daniel. I do like the book of Daniel. Daniel is full of prophecies. These prophecies, I'm sorry to say, some of them are very good. I can understand them. Some of them just give me a sore head. But the characters in the book of Daniel, they really do interest me. And I've picked out a few characters that I hope will interest you. And I'm starting off with the first character, the Babylonian king of all people. I think this Babylonian king was a very good one. Was a good king. The Bible says that this Babylonian king captured the Israelites and took them into exile. The Babylonian king's name is, what is his name? Nebuchadnezzar. And if you sort out all the different letters in Nebuchadnezzar, you find out it's almost half the letters of the alphabet, including two Zs. So what a guy. You know, when we meet him in the book of Daniel, we find initially that he's a bit, in God's eyes, a bit of a headbanger. You know what I mean, don't you? If there's a brick wall, you just aim for it with your head and bang it and bang it and bang it and go against God's will. Of course, today there's no headbangers in this church at the moment. I hope not anyway. So in Daniel, it all started with a God dream. Now, he wasn't a God man. He was an idol worshipper. So it's very unusual that God should break in and give him a dream. He did. The dream was more a vision. And it stunned him, and he was very concerned about this vision. He was also concerned about his acolytes, the people that were around him, that fed him false information and lies. So he decided not to give the dream. And he said to all his magicians, "You tell me what the dream is. You tell me, and then tell me the interpreter." Of course, they couldn't. Enter Daniel. Dear old Daniel. Daniel prayed to the God Almighty where the dream came from. Daniel prays to the true God. He gets the interpretation. We all know what this vision, this dream was. It was the gold. It was a statue, wasn't it? The image of gold, gold head, silver chest, bronze, sort of roundabout here, and iron legs and feet made of iron and clay. So, yes, Daniel was very impressive. Daniel, he gave the interpretation. He told the king what the vision was, and he also told the interpretation. It was very good. It was all about kingdoms to come. Very good indeed. King was very impressed. Daniel was promoted. The king carried on as usual. That's sad, isn't it? God broke into his life. God broke into Nebuchadnezzar's life, and that's it. Big deal. He just carries on as usual. In fact, he was more impressed with the dream. And 1 or 2 years later, there was a large flat area just outside Babylon, his city. And suddenly people around saw workmen coming, and they saw some scaffolding being put up, and suddenly they saw a 90-foot statue of gold being erected on the plain of Duma. And so what was this all about? This was all about his ego. He had this dream a year or 2 years ago. And he was putting his dream into action. And he was building this statue there on this flat area. Worse was to come. Worse was to come. When the statue had been erected, he had a dedication ceremony. And the dedication ceremony was a worship time. They had the worship band, Anya. The worship band had a horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, no drums, but they made a lot of noise. They made a lot of noise, and they tried to worship idols. They tried to worship this headbanger, Nebuchadnezzar. He was exalting himself, very proud. It wasn't worship to God Almighty. He hadn't learned his lesson. God had broken into his life, but he hadn't seen that it was God Almighty. And it made no difference to him. King Nebuchadnezzar, the big pride, the me, me, me. See my statue. Immediately after that, we have the fiery furnace incident. I want to come back to that later on. So was there any move towards God? After the fiery furnace, there was a slight move to God. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar would probably say, yes, there is a God Almighty. What's for dinner? Let's carry on. No change. Let's just carry on with life. no change. God has broken into my life, but I'm still going to carry on my sweet way. I was going to say something else. My sweet way. Okay, no change. Do you think God loved Nebuchadnezzar? Do you think, in spite of his head being banged up against the wall, do you think that God loved Nebuchadnezzar? Do you think that God loves people so much that he wants to keep on breaking into their lives, giving them more opportunities? I do. I do. There might be somebody here today that has resisted God and resisted. They know that God is alive. They know that God has been acting in their life. They know that things have happened in their lives, but they still haven't committed themselves to God. I hope there's no one here this morning or this afternoon. God loved Nebuchadnezzar, the king. The king was paying lip service to God Almighty at times. He was still worshipping his idols. He was still going his way. God so loved Nebuchadnezzar that he gave him another dream, another vision. Wonderful. But not a 90-foot statue this time, a 90-foot tree. Now, this was something quite different. This 90-foot tree flourished in his vision, went straight up to the heavens. It was an amazing tree. And then suddenly he saw in this vision all the branches cut off. And then he saw the tree chopped down to about my height, I suppose, about 6 foot. And he then looked and he saw some workman come and put iron band around it, and then a bronze band around it, and he got frightened. He woke up in a sweat, and he was really worried about it, and he calls for, who's he call for? Daniel, good old Daniel, the man of God, he'll put me straight. He always does. So he calls for Daniel, and Daniel prays and gets the answer from God, and he gives Nebuchadnezzar a warning. Sorry, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, God is going to judge you. You still haven't listened to me. You still haven't turned to me. God is going to judge you. Do you know what happened? The warning went in one ear and straight out through the other ear. Aren't people stupid? When God is working on them, aren't people stupid? The warning came in one ear and out through the other. Don't play silly games with God. When God is talking, we must listen. 1 year later, precisely 1 year later, this king was walking on the roof. That's strange, isn't it? Because the roofs in those days were flat. And he was walking in this elevated position up on his palace roof. And his heart swelled with pride. And he looked out over the whole of Babylon and he said, quite rightly in a way, this is Babylon that I have built. And the pride just came up in his heart. Me, I have built all this success. And when he said that, he heard directly for the first time, not through Daniel, the man of God, but he heard directly from God for the first time. And God said to him, you're judged. It's going to happen. It's an awful story. He went insane. He went insane for 7 times. He went so insane that he became animal. There's a word for it. It's a medical term called lycanthropy. Lycanthropy, where you think that you're an animal and you behave like an animal. So he did. This madness came upon him, this medical condition, and he was out in the wilds, and he was out there eating grass. He became wild. He was mad. He worshipped gods, you know, the idol gods. And I don't know, Pastor Terry, but it just struck me, these idol gods were sometimes half beast and half man. And I wonder if he thought of himself as a god, as the King Nebuchadnezzar, the great god, half animal, half man, half human. But that's how he went. And the Bible says that it took 7 times. I don't know what the 7 times. It could be 7 months or it could be 7 years. History says, the ancient historians say, that his queen, the queen, reigned in his place while he was mad. One day after the 7 times, either 7 years or 7 months, Nebuchadnezzar came to his senses at long last. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that he raised his eyes towards heaven and his sanity came back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ah, he was restored. Not only restored, but he came to God himself, the true God. And I believe that we'll see him in heaven. After all his head banging, we'll see him in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's good, isn't it? What was his failing? I think you know, don't you? What was his failing? It was pride, wasn't it? He was too proud. He didn't need God. He could do it his way. No one's going to tell me what to do. I will not surrender my life to God. There's nobody here like that today. No? Good. Praise the Lord. No one's going to tell me what to do. I will not surrender my life to God. The funny thing is that when we do surrender our lives to God, it's not a loss. It's an actual gain. But people think that, you know, to surrender to God, to give their lives to God, is a loss. What am I going to lose? What you lose is nothing to what you gain in life. When we surrender to God, it's not a loss, it's a gain. And anyway, Bible says that one day, whether we bend the knee now or we don't bend the knee now, one day we're going to bend the knee. Whether we like it or not. So we might as well like it and do it now and bend the knee and say, Lord, be Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. I give myself completely and utterly to you. I'm not a headbanger. I'm not a Nebuchadnezzar. I'm not going to do it the hard way and come a cropper every time. I'm going to surrender now and gain and not lose. So the king did come to God and he did surrender. And I'm sure we'll see him there in heaven. Hallelujah. King, half the alphabet, double Z's. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so I've got a bit of time, haven't I? So I'm going to take you to another incident because the book of Daniel is full of characters, some real good characters. And I want to show you three young men. It could be Terry, Phil, and John, but it isn't. It's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, and it's in Daniel chapter 3, and it's worth reading. And I'm going to read it for you. And I'm going to start in Daniel 3, verse 12. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. These three guys are fabulous. And I'm going to place myself in their shoes, I hope. you're going to stand with me in this one? You're going to place yourselves in these shoes? Yeah, okay. So furious with rage, this Nebuchadnezzar, in his head-banging days, summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the," "the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of—" What's a zither, anyway? My goodness. Makes you think of a zip, doesn't it? What's a zither? Anyway, so when you hear the sound of all these instruments, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. Here comes the crunch. Yes, exactly. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hands? What a thing to say. What a thing to say. Right, okay. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. Now, if you were standing, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would the devil say to you, "Don't be a fool"? All you got to do is just that, just a little bending of the knee. You know, that's a fiery furnace. You've got to die in there. Just bend the knee, just a little bit. And when you utter these worship words, do it in Hebrew. The king won't know. You could worship God Almighty in Hebrew and he wouldn't know what you're saying. You could deceive him. They didn't do that, did they? They didn't do that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." And then Nebuchadnezzar, he just flew into a rage, and the Bible says he was furious with these three guys. His attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual, commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up these three guys, throw them into the blazing furnace, and they did that. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and their other clothes, were bound, thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot, the flames of the fire killed the men who took up these three guys. And these three guys, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King this half-alphabet guy, he leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, wasn't it three men that we tied up and threw in the fire? And they replied, certainly, O King. He said, look. Just look. I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods. Absolutely stunning. They were called out of the fiery furnace. They couldn't find any trace of fire on them, not even smoke. Just think, if they had betrayed God and said, okay, we'll wilt, we'll do a little bow, we'll do a little prayer to these gods of yours. Just think, if they'd have done that, they'd have missed an amazing miracle in their life. The number of times that we are called to stand firm for God. And when we do, God works a miracle in our lives. The number of times that I personally have stood firm for God, and I've seen so many miracles in my life because I've stood firm. These guys, they didn't compromise. They stood firm for God. Isn't that a challenge? Isn't that a wonderful challenge? So, how were these three so strong in God? I want us to sort of be practical this morning. I want to know how they got their success. How do you think they got their success? How do you think they stood so strong and so firm? Number one, they'd committed themselves to God completely. You can read it in Daniel. Even to the food they ate, they gave their life to God. No messing. Right from teenagers, I think they were teenagers, they gave their lives to God. No messing. They also had another thing. They had a little secret that Daniel gave them. Daniel gave them a prayer secret. And it's prayer that keeps us close to God every day. What was that prayer secret? Daniel prayed first thing in the morning, midday he prayed, and last thing at night he prayed. He prayed three times a day. That's a challenge, isn't it? I can manage morning, I can manage evening. I'm not sure about the midday, although I do try to bring God into my day in prayer. It's absolutely essential. If we want to be strong in God, we need a proper prayer time. I don't mean a religious one. I mean a natter one, where we natter, where we talk to God. We need to do it. We need to do it. How do we do it? We set a time. Set a time. When I was working and pastoring, I would get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. It was a killer. I'd get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and, you know, have a good prayer time before I went to work. I would, in the evening, I'll still do, make a time where I hive off, get away from the TV and go upstairs into my prayer closet and seek the Lord. I need to touch base with God every day. every day. I need to touch base with God in the morning, hopefully in the midday, and especially in the evening. I need to touch base with him, otherwise I'm weak. I don't know how about you. Can you exist without prayer? I can't. Some of you are trying to shut off because you're thinking to yourself, oh dear, I've heard all this before. I want to be a Shadrach. I want to be a Meshach. I want to be an Abednego. I don't want to be particularly Nebuchadnezzar. I don't want to be one that is continually banging my head against God's wall. I want to give my life to the Lord. And, I want to be courageous like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were brilliant. You can't fault them. But I want to know their secret. And I do know their secret. I have given myself completely and utterly to the Lord. And to the point where I'm saying, Lord, where should I work? Where should I live? Where should I worship? What do you want me to do, Lord? What job would you have me to do in your kingdom? I've given myself to the Lord. I've seen the reward. It's not been a loss. It's been a gain. But to stand in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's shoes, that's something else. One day, we might have to do it. There's a lot of Christians in the world in this day and age that are having to stand in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's shoes, and they're being told that they will have their head cut off if they don't bow to another god, that they will be shot, and people are standing firm for the Lord even in this day and age, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And some of them have to go into the fiery furnace, and sometimes they don't come out. But I do know one thing. If we stand with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we do go in the fiery furnace, there's someone that stands with us, and it's the Lord Jesus. He walks with us, and he gives us success. Keep close to the Lord, folks. Keep close to the Lord. Keep close. Learn the success. Pray morning, noon, and night. It's good. It's good. You'll see God working in your life, and it'll be a real thrill. Not a loss, but again, God bless you. A lot.